How's it going, Shy?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm honestly like excited. I feel like I'm gaining momentum work-wise. I'm taking on a lot of things and like trying to keep up with them. The stuff that I'm doing has been like learning experiences. I started working with my homie Patrick on like a show that he's been running. That's been fun. I've been my weekly live show that like we put on pause when my boy passed away, Kenny. We got that coming back. Like, mm-hmm. I feel momentum moving forward with a lot of things career-wise. And I feel like when I really think about myself, as much as I've wanted these things, I don't know if I could have handled them a year or two ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, time is, I don't know. Sometimes I see where if it's like there's too much time, you've missed your chance, and that's one way of looking or thinking of it. But you also learn so much as you're moving through the world,
mm-hmm.
that I feel like if, you know, you end up starting a thing and you're like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have been able to handle this like a year ago, 2 years ago. Like when I think about when I started comedy, sometimes I think, oh, I wish I'd started sooner or earlier, you know, in my life. But then I'm like, no, starting when I started was good, because if I was younger and trying to do it, I wouldn't have been able to handle some of the shit that comes with it.
Yeah.
That I needed to have handled other things and learned from those things in order to deal with like that. You know, deal with what comedy hath wrought. And so, yeah. So that's fantastic. Yeah. There are a few things I'm like, I don't know if I would have been able to handle this. And, you know, sometimes I do things and I feel I'm over my head, but then I can step away and then come back to it and go, oh no, actually now that some time has passed, I see what was happening and I can handle it better.
Yeah, yo. I was sincerely excited. I also like, just like I've been having a lot of like deep thinking moments admittedly, I don't think most of them are right. Most of the things I think of are wrong.
No, sure.
But every now and then I feel like I land on something that's like, oh, that's not a bad idea. You know? Like for example, I feel like when people are depressed, they should make like art that they made when they were in kindergarten.
Ooh, yeah, no, I believe that.
Yo,
I'm big on coloring. The 64 pack has expanded to 120 crayons.
Yeah,
and
yo.
I mean, if I'm at some like drugstore, like I have just blank paper because I like to kind of doodle and color. Mm-hmm. But if I was at some drugstore and, you know, in like the aisle with the school supplies, they had just like very simple coloring books.
Yeah.
I would grab a few. I would absolutely like grab a pack of crayons and a coloring book and fucking go somewhere and do that.
Yeah. I found this YouTube video, Draw Like a Sir is the channel. And he like teaches people how to draw stuff. And then like after like 10 videos of showing people how to draw like hands or whatever, he just made like a general video of like, this is how I would learn how to draw if I was starting from scratch. So I'm doing that. And like, I suck, and that's cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like learning a thing. Then like, it gave me the idea of like doing silly kid stuff. So I started making like, I made myself a turkey with the hand.
Classic.
Straight up, yo.
Classic.
That shit hard.
Are you a child in America if you didn't make a hand turkey?
Yeah. Why do we stop? Is my point. You know.
I don't know.
It brings me instant joy just to say, like, yeah, I made this. And then when you show it to people, they're happy, too.
Yeah, because they're like, man, what are you doing? Also, that actually seems fun.
Straight up. Everyone instantly is just like, yo, that's freaking dope. You know what I mean? Next week, I'm making the cotton ball flowers for my mom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Straight up. I'm going to do all the little kitchen. I'm going to make my dad a tie. out of construction paper. I'm doing all of this shit, yo. And I'm a sincerely give them all this shit at 40.
I can't wait for them to hang that on their refrigerator.
As they should. Hell
and
yeah.
And for people to be like, wait, aren't your grandkids older than this? And it's like, no, this one's from our kid.
Hell yeah.
Our oldest did this one.
Hell yeah. Last week. Hell yeah.
Our firstborn made this out of construction paper.
Hell yeah, yo. Yo, I'm telling you, instant joy, Sha. I've been loving this shit, yo. I'm telling, I feel like it's the key. I like on some like silly shit, it works, mm-hmm. but also on some deep shit, it works. I feel like when people are depressed, it's because they're going through heavy shit and they don't get the balance. Like they don't get a moment of joy. Kids get moments of joy, like, mm-hmm. Throughout the day, like the school system, daycares are centered around it. And we mm-hmm. slowly take them away. Like we try right. to make them manage everything else with less and less joy until they're one of us. And the key is to keep the joy.
Yo, bars.
Straight up. Just keep That's a little bit bars. Of the joy.
Just they start it with joy and then they take it away slowly till they become yeah. one of us. Ow, that hurt. I don't Straight even have up. No kids, but I'm like, I'm complicit somehow. I feel like I had something to do with that, but I don't. But yo, you right.
Real talk. By like most people by like high school, definitely by high school, but I think most people by like junior high uh-huh. probably haven't drawn in like 3 years.
Right. You unless know, they're you, like I draw.
Unless they're studying that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're like I draw, but like the kind of like today we're going to draw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause art's an elective.
Right.
But in elementary school, okay, we're going to art class now.
Straight
Still,
up.
Still, up to a certain point, it was just like, I mean, because for me, yeah, absolutely. Up through like sixth or seventh grade for me, it was like, here's your 45 minutes in art.
Yeah. That shit was vital, yo. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. There's simple art and instruments that I think people should play with whenever they feel sad. Like, I think that's what the triangle's for. The triangle is a thing that, like, I don't know how you play, like, high avant-garde triangle. I feel like everyone is, like, either never played a triangle or we're all the same level of triangle expert. And I think that's great, you know? Mm-hmm. I think everyone could, like, grab a triangle and we don't know if you're playing it right or wrong. None of us do. But it makes you happy. Right. You know what I mean? Play the triangle. That shit is dope. It's a great... like random thing to fuck around with. You know what I mean? Don't make an album. Who the fuck wants a triangle album? Nobody wants that shit. But, you know what I mean? But if you was at a barbecue and somebody said, yo, I got a triangle. What? Y'all haven't played one of them shit since I was six. Play with the triangle. Instant joy. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
I
yeah.
think triangles, okay. even though it's a high skill one, harmonicas, a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. A tough one, but yeah.
It's tough to do it well, but everyone instantly just has joy trying it. Uh-huh. I feel like you should have like a box of silly shit when I was six that you do once a week as an adult. I promise you, it just brings you joy. And then share it with like your homies. You don't got to try to make a living out of it. Just do a silly thing that you did when you was a kid. And as a 40-year-old, share it with other 40-year-olds. It'll bring you joy. It'll bring them joy. You know what I mean? It'll solve some of your shit. Maybe you make weird flowers out of cotton balls and, you know, it tells you something about you. That's cool. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Because I'm curious how say, does your immediate family feel about you suddenly making hand turkeys and cotton ball flowers? Like, how are they reacting to it?
Listen, they could judge. Oh, I'm happy.
Okay. Wait. That's not what I asked. Not can they judge? I just say, I'm sure they can judge.
Now, honestly, I think the reception's been cool. Mm-hmm. My kids are definitely into it. They find it silly that like I'm doing like artsy stuff, but also like, mm-hmm. I'm having combos with them. Like, yeah, like I taught the hand drawings that I'm doing has mm-hmm. opened up my daughter's into art stuff, so I have real combos with her for the first time. Right. I have an appreciation for what she's doing. Mm-hmm. By the same token, it led to like comic book combos with my son.
Oh, you sure. You know what I mean?
It was like a weird icebreaker that like, again, it was just something just like, yo, let's do this. And then like, I haven't shown it to my homies, but I've talked to talk to a few of them about it.
Right.
And they're like, yo, that sounds dumb, but like also they'll brag about like the thing they made when they was little. They're like, yo, I did a crazy collage. I'm like, yeah, do another one right now. No one's stopping you, my G. You know what I mean? And it would feel great. I'm telling you, just like make some cool shit. You know what I mean? If it's extra dope, frame it, put it up on your wall, put it on the fridge.
I definitely, when COVID hit and everything was shutting down and people were, you know, trying to get the essentials and ordering stuff, I absolutely, was in like a Target with a mask on looking for crayons. Like I ordered the big box of crayons on Amazon or something and I just got blank paper because I was like, this is a stressful situation. I have no control over it. I can spiral or I can sit here and color like I used to do. And that's what I did. And the ones that I were like, these are fine. You know, I just had them scattered throughout. And then ones that I liked, like I mailed one to my sister or something. And she's been seeing me do these things for years or whatever. And she's just like, all right, you know, I'll stick it up on the wall or, you know what I mean? Like, okay, you know, but yeah, or give one to my roommate or whatever. And I'm just like, I definitely make sure, I've always made sure for years and years that I have crayons and some sort of paper on me.
Yeah.
And I do that. And then as far as instruments go, I bought a ukulele and I was just like, that's just the thing I've always wanted to learn how to do.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody in the public is going to see me play this ukulele.
Right.
It's not for that. It's for me attempting to learn, to see if I have the patience to learn certain songs on the ukulele.
That's beautiful.
And that's really all I'm going to do with it is try to learn how to do that.
That's all you need to do, Sha.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm going to share one piece when I decide to do it. When I was in third grade, we had to do like this in, like collage art thing where like you took a picture of somebody's like somebody's headshot, you cut it in half and you had to draw the other side. And I won the school award for best drawing. So like the fourth, the fifth graders, the sixth graders was tight because I was like, yo, who's this kid, this 8-year-old bodying us? And I drew one of David Dinkins.
You know okay.
What I mean? You know what I mean? And to be clear, at 8, had no political affiliations.
Just
he was a cool picture.
Yeah, good.
Cool dudes. He was around New York a lot.
Right, yeah. He was just a subject. He wasn't, it wasn't as important, his mayorship or whatever. It was just.
Straight up.
Yeah.
I just saw an interesting face. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, this man has weight. You know, he's carrying something. You know?
Yeah, this is what you thought at 8. These are things you notice at 8. Absolutely. You know what I mean? For sure. Yeah, I took photography in high school, which fun fact thing that people don't know about me, my 1 year of college I was majoring in photography. Like I wanted to do photography. I can't draw a number out of a hat. Let's also make that clear. So I'm not coming at it in an arty way. I don't know how I was going to make money, but I just want to learn more about this. I just enjoyed taking pictures and I enjoyed developing the film and printing the pictures.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do that for as long as I could. One thing that we had to do was we took pictures of the area around our homes, right? Outside and all that stuff. I live in an apartment complex, blah, blah, blah. I'm taking pictures of the speed bump that's in the, before you drive into the complex and the banister on our stairway to go up to our apartment. I took a picture of that banister, the handrail, and it's made out of wood. And then, the next assignment was to pick one of those things and draw it.
Okay.
Now that you've got the photograph, now draw the photograph. And I was like, oh, God. And I was like, yikes, how do I draw a speed bump? You know, like, it's a lot of gray, you know, not much contrast. I didn't do that part right. And so I picked the banister one, and it's head on, like, it's a real thick, it was a real thick wooden banister, and it was just kind of the end of it, the blunt end of it going, and then it was shot going, like, you see the stairs going up in the background and getting blurry in the background. But the part that's very clear was like the edge, the blunt end of that banister. And I'm like, and you can't trace it. And I'm like, well, it's just lines. I'll just try to write the line, draw the lines in the direction of the whatever. But what I also had done was, like I said, I doodle all the time. Well, yeah. I had on the edge of that banister is pretty wide. I had with a pen or pencil or something drawn some weird, like carved some weird little shape into the banister, like, because I'm a teenager and I'm destructive.
Hell yeah.
Years before, at least 3 years before I did this, I carved that into the thing. And it's kind of worn and all that stuff. So then I had to like copy, and I do all that shit freestyle, and I just had to like copy that little thing. And how about like at the end of that, the art teacher was just like, this was the best drawing out of everyone because there's perspective, because the front is in focus, but you know, there's depth of field. And then there's this little detailing thing that's kind of faint here, but she put here. And I was just like, what?
Yes, sir.
Like, just trying to draw lines. Like, this won't happen again, though. I know a win when I feel it. That was a win. We ain't continuing. Well, I'll keep taking pictures. I'm not drawing the pictures, but I will take the pictures.
What if you picked the wrong art form, Sha?
I did not. What, you mean photography?
You're supposed to be a drawing, like, you're supposed to be animating Marvel or something, yo.
No. I'm pretty sure I don't. I don't think that's what I was supposed to be doing. Photography, sometimes I do wish, but it, especially like what it has become and how everyone's got wild, like, equipment in their pocket and all that stuff. Yeah. I'm just like, yo, I don't know. But film is also making a comeback.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, I mean, I got a camera I can dust off, and I got some film, and I can see if I even have an eye anymore and all of that stuff. So I've been playing with that in my brain. But even if I decide to do that, I'm like, that'll be for me.
Right, right.
I like, no longer am I looking at it like, how do I do this, like, as a living, and like I was as a teenager and going into college. Now it's just like, yeah, no, I just want to see if I have it in me to do this again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dig it. I always have respect for Lucy Liu because of that. Like, she like puts on like art exhibits for her like photography work.
Oh, and neat.
Like, it's just a whole other. It's just like a whole other side of her. And she like she promotes it in like a way that like it doesn't heighten the fact. It doesn't highlight the fact that she's actress Lucy Liu. Like,
right.
She uses like her traditional Chinese name.
Yes.
When promoting
okay.
it so that when people come out, they don't assume that it's her.
Right.
You know what I mean? And she's like, yeah, she's like, it's just a thing I do for joy. And I want people to judge it without the caveat right. of it being Lucy's work. Just
right.
see if you like it or not. She's really big on like doing other art forms. She's like, yeah, I got free time. You know what I mean? And I find other things interesting besides just acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's dope. People should explore that more. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And if it helps you like mentally to just go to a simple place and just,
yeah.
you know, clear that out and then go and then deal with stuff, like, absolutely. Go on and color your cotton ball flowers.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's go.
Bring back kindergarten art.
Absolutely.
I like it.
Get some carnations, put them in water with food coloring. We doing all of it, kids.
Real talk.
All of it.
Macaroni paintings for my mom. Ah, fire,
stuff
yo.
Made, yeah, just sprinkling rice, gluing rice to, come on.
I'm so hyped, yo. Oh, man. Let's get into the news.
All right.
Wasted weed. Canada's disposal of 3.7 million pounds of cannabis since 2018. That's right. In 2022, the first half, and the first half of 2023, Canada went through a whopping 611.7 million grams of cannabis dried bud, but not in a fun way. All of the marijuana in question was tossed out by licensed producers as a result of a disparity between how much is grown and how much people use. They chucked out nearly 44% of the more than 425.3 million grams destroyed last year. According to Health Canada, the reported figures actually only account for the weight of the destroyed unpackaged cannabis. This indicates that the total volume of cannabis waste in Canada, including products that had already been packaged, could be much higher, perhaps well exceeding 2 billion grams.
Okay.
Industry experts and consultant Farrell Miller notes that the majority of this discarded product was destroyed for being too old or having too little THC. There's no demand for old and low THC products, so manufacturers of finished products
nobody
are
wants
vinyl.
Expired weed? Okay.
For the low, nah. Still, keep that shit. As consumers become more savvy with packaging dates on dried cannabis products, this trend will only continue. If the destructive pattern continues at the same alarming rate from July to December of 2023, it could mean that Canada's cannabis industry has already hit the apex of its supply-demand mismatch. So it's trying to move towards a balance as wasteful as it is, not to mention the that it's awful for the environment.
All right, so what I'm hearing, Canada is once they decide to do it, they fucking went all in.
Yeah.
And now they're just producing
too much.
And so they're having to throw out the ones that go bad, which, I mean, you know, good for them. You know, no one wants skunk weed or whatever the fuck the kids call it. And so now they're just throwing out, now they may be just throwing out more than what people are actually consuming.
Yeah.
Do they export? Are we about to see Canada fucking, like, I don't know how much is being, yo, I don't know. Like, what?
This what missed opportunity
here. What do they do with alcohol?
Here,
I mean, is it? What else could they do? Because they got to do it quick. Because, I mean, for all the excitement of growing weed, it is a plant that has, there is an expiration date on it because it is something from the earth or whatever, right?
I mean, I feel like this is Canada's opportunity to create like Canadian, that festival where everybody's out in the desert in the,
Man?
Yeah, they could do Canadian Burning Man. You know what I mean? Where like they put all the weed that's going to get thrown out anyway, burn it, everybody's contact high all at once.
I think that's what they were. I mean, I don't think that, maybe they're not burning it anymore, but I mean, like, I think that, I think places have done that. Like, yeah. Cities who are just like, I guess we just have to burn this because we can't have it around, you know, back in the day.
But bring everybody over, like, make it a barbecue, make it a thing, you know what I mean? And then, like, we could all be, like, high together as, like, an event. We could watch movies.
That sounds like a terrible idea. What about those of us with sinus problems and asthma?
Well, I mean, you don't do it in Toronto. Canada got mad space, don't they? I thought it was like a...
No, don't burn nothing in Canada because their smoke comes down here now, apparently.
That's probably what that red sky in New York was last year.
I did not care for that. My throat hurt for a full week.
I don't know. Canada Burning Man. Think about it, yo. So what happens at Burning Man?
I mean, that's what they do. They construct a big... It's meant to be burned, but it's just like a man. They actually, the last nights of Burning Man, then they burn that. Their burning is like a stand-in for what used to be, I guess, extreme consumerism and, corporations and how the world. But now, I guess it's just whoever fucked up somebody's tech company, they throw those names in there and whatever. As somebody who, sorry, everyone out there who likes weed, hates the smell of weed, the idea of burning all of that stuff makes me so sad. Because because there's nowhere I can go for fresh air.
Yeah.
You know, like it's really rough when you don't like the smell of cigarette smoke or you don't like, you know what I mean? And then I got to just be locked up in a half basement apartment and just straight breathing. Up. Over an air purifier, like you know what I mean? Just constant purifiers around me because y'all want to get high off the ganja because y'all can't deal with your shit. Deal with your shit. Drink.
My mother-in-law lives like 6 blocks from my house, and she wears like 3 masks whenever she walks over. She's like, nah, like that whole walk. And it's literally just one straight street.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, every time I walk to visit y'all, I get high. She's like, I can't. She's like, I need
yeah,
this.
It's ridiculous. I'm like, I know, okay, I guess you want to legalize it and all that shit. But I mean, like, yo, guys, it's a bit more in, it spreads out a bit more than if you're drinking. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's fair.
Drinking, that's you. And then you have to sweat that out. And then we smell that. And then we have to deal with what you're like. But I mean, like, you just have that shit burning. And I mean, I didn't like it with cigarettes either, but I'm like, geez, it's so bad.
You know, something that I have found interesting, weed, pizza is another one. There's like certain things that, like, I feel like in the 90s were very simple. Like it was either good or not. And like now there's like so many like
niche
and like brands yo, it's wild.
Thank you for roping pizza into that.
Yeah.
Everybody chill, for the love of God. Chill on your pizzas.
Yeah. I love a slice. I'm a big pizza eater, but my God, it's gotten insanely complicated. People are like so like loyal. You got people yelling about their city style pizza.
Yes.
Now, I mean, it's wild out here,
It's wild. And look, I'm not anti I don't think I've ever had a proper deep dish, but I'm not against it. The ingredients, the basic ingredients, I'm there for it already. It's tomato sauce with a bunch of oregano and garlic. Yes.
Happy times. Yeah.
Great.
I'm with it.
Cheese. Yep. Bread. Always there for bread. What are we doing? Just do that in various configurations. I'm kind of going to be there for it. But like, you know, just the different kind. This is authentic pizza. And this one is cooked in an oven that's like 1,000 degrees. And we put it in there for 3 minutes and it comes out. And I'm like, what? Huh? Like
straight
60
up,
seconds
yo.
And come. And this is more now. And look, I'm not knocking anybody who is a pizza connoisseur because we know a few.
Yeah.
We know a couple who are very hardcore about it. And I get it. And I love watching them and they're rating it and they, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm like, I mean, good for you. But, and I am even a little snobby about pizza, but also but not like that. And a real talk, if you put a fucking Tostino's party pizza in front of me,
it's a good time.
I'm gonna be just as happy as if you put some $40 slice, grandma slice in front of me.
Yeah, yo. Got people talking like, there's people that will straight up be like, yo, that's just trash. You got to go to New Haven. I got to go two states over?
Right.
Have a slice, my G?
What's happening in Connecticut that suddenly they have good pizza? What's happening?
Yeah.
In Connecticut, where? What?
Listen, and I know I've enjoyed pizza from New Haven. Great pizza. Not knocking it. Mm-hmm. But I know this is a new thing. They're trying to say, like, it's always been great. I know it's not been great because nobody... In the like whatever many years that show was on the air, all those two girls did was eat, and eat, and not one time did the Gilmore Girls mention New Haven pizza. Not one time.
Yeah, that's
and they
true.
Did a great job of bringing in Connecticut culture.
Right.
If there was popping pizza in '98, it would have been a storyline at one point.
Yeah, that's true.
She would have had a favorite New Haven pizza spot. Her rich parents would have had it delivered at one point.
See what's so great about this pizza?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Tell you. New Haven pizza did not exist until the internet, yo. This is a mirage, yo. Y'all trying to pull the wool over our eyes, saying like this has been here since the 40s or whatever. It's always been great. No. Bullshit, yo. That shit did not exist.
Also, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed. We just went from weed to pizza to Gilmore Girls. Just boom, boom, boom.
That's what we do, baby.
Love it. Love it.
No other pod, baby.
All right. Yes. On a podcast called The War Report. That is where we went. Yeah, we went from weed to Burning Man to pizza to health air issues, air quality issues to pizza. Gilmore Girls. We made a lot of stops on that one.
Oh, yeah. Target demo. That Venn diagram is like four people.
Yeah. You know I don't what even mean? Have any circles. Oh, boy.
In other news, where we had looks can be deceiving. Utah Zoo welcomes tiny cat that's one of the world's deadliest. That's right.
Oh, yeah. This little killer cat.
You seen it, right? One of the newest residents at a Utah zoo is so cute, it could kill, literally. Utah's Hogle Zoo welcomed Gala, an 8-month-old black-footed cat. Last month, it was introduced as a small in size but large and feisty personality of cat. The species is native to Africa, among the smallest in the world, and according to the Smithsonian Magazine, it's one of the deadliest cats on the planet with the ability to capture more prey in a single night than a leopard does in 6 months. They have a reputation for being a very fierce cat, pound for pound. Gala, who weighs less than 3 pounds, comes from a species of successful hunters. Black-footed cats have a hunting success rate of over 60%. The cats also have accelerated metabolism, so they're constantly hunting. They can kill up to 14 rodents or small birds in a single night and are 3 times as successful at killing compared to lions.
Come on over to Bushwick, y'all.
Real talk. Why aren't these our bodegas?
And when I tell you, y'all, I remember this from a few months ago, people posting pictures of this adorable little cat, these little cats, and they're like, these cats kill like crazy. Bring them to Bushwick.
Yeah.
Bring them to New York. I have a feeling, though, they probably, I mean, I don't know, some of these rats, we might see some full-on, like, wrestling matches out here, but... But I try. I mean, we'll see. It's survival of the fittest until them cats turn on us. That's the thing. Real I was like, oh, let's get one as a. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to wake up and have this thing literally draining my neck.
This is what I was hoping the rat czar in New York lady was going to
do. Like, let's look at some real alternatives to like. I mean, yes, sure. Let's put our trash bags in a dumpster. But also, let's get some of these little baby kitties in here killing all these
rats. Straight up, yo, we got kitty assassins out here, and you over here talk about put the garbage out at 8? That's the difference?
Yes.
You know what I mean? We got kitty ninjas, and you got me putting out my garbage out 4 hours later, because that's the trick. The fuck is wrong with you? I want all of these kitty ninjas running through my hood.
Yeah.
One block at a time, we can solve this problem, yo.
We really could.
Straight up, I really think so. This is the solution. I wanted to see her exploring different shit like this. Like, yeah, yo, I found out about these elephants. They different, yo. You know what I mean? Like, just bringing out, like, weird shit. You know, like, because everything she's talked about is shit we've known. Yes, we should keep, like, she has done nothing groundbreaking. Put the trash out later, leave it in the trash can. No shit. It's for real? That's what you did?
It should be take the trash can out to the use metal trash cans again.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Okay. Rat czar. You got it. But
real talk. You got me composting and we got kitty ninjas. I gotta take out 17 bags of garbage in different color bags because of you. And we got real ninjas built into their DNA specialized to take out the exact thing. That's a problem in our hood. That's the first shit the article let off with. It kills 14 rodents every night. Real talk. I'm pretty sure I got 14 mice on my block. One kitty, one block, problem done.
And one night?
One night.
That's what you do. Watch all the rodents move, and then you move the cats based on the migration of the rodents. Why do
exactly.
I do everything? I don't even know nothing. Why I got to do everything?
If you would like to appoint Shalewa as the new mouse and rat czar in New York.
No, I think you got it, my man. This is your position. I will answer phones and I will organize meetings, but I think this is you. I believe you're really the brain trust on this one.
Gladly take on this role. I'll be the face.
Okay?
Shalewa does the strategy. All you got to do is like, subscribe to the show, baby. If you're an Apple, Spotify listener, we appreciate your ratings. 4 stars, you don't know how focused I am on this. I'm still looking up more animals, okay? You don't know what I'm bringing out over here. Trepacitos from my hood, taking out mice that eat too much. Then we got the killer ninja cats coming out heavy. Now, I mean, I'm going to have them breeding first, you know what I mean? I'm going to hire one of the pit bull dudes from my hood. Be like, yo, I need 45 of these joints by tomorrow.
All right, well, we don't need no three-legged cat ninjas. Like, let's be careful. You know, the genetics can get a little wild. Make sure they don't meet any neighborhood cats either. We don't want no half breeds out here barely killing, only maiming these rats. We want the rats dead. We don't want them just because they don't have all the drive they need because they are half American cat, half killer cat ninja. You know what I mean?
Oh man, my next year is gonna be killer cats, blue nosed. You know what I mean? I got a blue nosed killer cat. It's a new breed. You know what I mean? Get the brown nosed killer cat, match your Tim's.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It'd be hard, yo. And we mice free now. No rodents.
Right. You know? Yes.
Mm-hmm. 5 stars, you see the vision, okay? And you buying a cat next year. I know.
We'll give you a discount. We'll give you a discount.
Hit us up, baby. You know what I mean? 10% off to podcast subscribers. You know what I mean? If you have any articles you want us to cover, please DM us directly on Twitter or Instagram at Silky Jumbo or at Gastro Amonte. Shout out this week to Black Girl Green World, Winnie Locke, and FCBLJ. With all that said, I am the new Rad Czar New York Gastro Amonte with the person behind the person. Shalay was sharp. We taking over.
With the maps on the wall behind me. That's what I'll do.
Straight up.
With the string, tracking everything.
Shad does a lot of pointing.
Yeah, I do.
You know what I mean?
Get him from over there.
Straight up. She's the coach. She's breaking it down. She's like, you are not eating enough rodents.
Yes, that's me. I am coaching the cats. I am. I'm the, yeah, I'm the tired police lieutenant who has to out these buddy cop cats.
Do you talk to them or do you tell your cat to talk to them?
My cat is the one that they're all trying to fuck. My cat's too sexy. So I got to keep Lucinda away from these killer cats is what I got to do.
Oh, yeah. Lucinda is going to be like the Heat cheerleader that bags Dwayne Wade or some shit, yo.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we're trying to keep them separate. It's a real Romeo and Juliet situation. Real Capulet Montague stuff going on. Is the backstory behind all of this.
We keep coming up with new pilots on the show.
We really do. And they all seem to be rat-based. And I don't know, why that is, but here we are.
It's been another episode of The War Report. Catch y'all next time. Peace.